Reading from Luke chapter 12, verse 37 through 40.
It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, he will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. That's Luke chapter 12, verses 37 through 40.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday. I hope and pray you enjoyed Christmas, or at least got to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you were shut in or couldn't get out, or maybe you're incarcerated, or for whatever reason you couldn't be with friends and family. Hopefully the Lord was ever close to you. He says in his word, draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So we trust that as you tune in today, you'll find a blessing and hopefully grow in your relationship with God. And our new year is upon us. I don't know if you've already started some practices, because they say you need about 20 or 30 days to create a new habit. And so maybe you have some resolutions and hopefully start it today. So that way you go into this new year already practicing it. But we hope it's going to be a wonderful new year for y'all, and we're glad you're tuned in today as we continue with our series. We've had three or four Advent messages, but today we're going to look at the Lord returning and what we can anticipate, because he didn't remain in the grave. He rose from the dead. He's been in heaven. He's attentive to your prayers. He intercedes on behalf of us before the Father, but he's going to return and reign. He's reigning now, but he'll reign in a new way with a new heaven and a new earth. And those of us that follow the Lord Jesus Christ anticipate that and look forward to that. And so we trust as you tune in today, you'll hear a blessing designed for you. With us to facilitate this discussion is Pastor Jason Schiffel of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet.
Well, so 2025 is here. And as we enter this time in the new year, I want to talk about the difference between being willing and being ready. These are two different things. It's different to be willing than it is to be ready. Willing means that you're okay to do something if necessary. Being ready means that when the time is right for something, you are ready, you are prepared for that thing. Many years ago, I came across this guy who was, he was a fitness kind of coach, and he was talking to me about New Year's resolutions and why so many people fail when it comes to New Year's resolutions, particularly around their health. And he was saying this very thing. He said a lot of people come in and they're willing to get themselves healthy, but they're not ready. See, he said they're willing because they want to do, they're okay with doing it because they think they need to do it. They know they need to do it, but they're only willing to do it if it's necessary. And really, the hard work and all that that goes into it isn't something that they necessarily want to do. But he said when they come in ready, they're ready to do this thing. The time is right for that thing, and they're prepared for whatever the cost is to do that thing. And so I think that's a good word for us, because many of us will make New Year's resolutions and changes that we see necessary, that we know we need to make. And while some of us may be willing to make those changes, the real difference in our success is if we're actually ready to make those changes. Any changes anybody want to share that they're ready to make, or maybe they're just willing to make? I'll start. I got this drawer in my house that I'm willing to clean, but I'm not sure I'm ready to clean it out.
You know, if I say what I want to accomplish, then you have to hold me accountable.
That's
so
true,
I'm not
too.
Sure if
yeah.
I want to disclose that. But one thing I am doing, and I've been intentional for a few weeks, is simplification. So I'm trying to empty things that are not needed or that are clustered or in different rooms that just aren't being used or utilized.
Yeah, yeah. Years ago, I was dating this girl, and it was really interesting. She always kept a pair of running shoes at underneath her bed, like right underneath her bed, you know, where we lay down in the bed and kind of where our body and our head would be by the pillow. She had a table next to her bed, and she always had a pair of running shoes underneath her bed. And I always thought it was kind of funny because I said, how come I never see you wear those shoes? She goes, oh, that's not what those shoes are for. And I said, what do you mean that's not what those shoes are for? She goes, those shoes are so I can be ready. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, growing up in California, her father always required every family member to be ready to leave the house at a moment's notice in case there was an earthquake that came during the middle of the night. Because she said, if an earthquake comes in the middle of the night, or even if there's a tremor, things are in disarray, windows break, the electricity is lost, you're in the dark. And if you have shoes right there and you know where they are, you're ready in case you have to walk across broken glass and in the dark. She said, I have those shoes there because I'm always ready. And then I said, but you live in Illinois now. I said, there's other things maybe you need to be ready for. But it was interesting. She said, out of habit, she never goes to bed without being ready. And when I heard her say that years later, when I read the passage from Luke 12, it kind of a light bulb went off in my head. I was reminded as I read Luke 12 that we need to be ready for what? For an earthquake, for a famine, for economic collapse. No, I think we need to be ready for something greater, the return of the Lord.
Amen.
Are we ready for that? Do we have those shoes? Are we intentionally going to bed every night and saying, I want to be ready? Not for an earthquake, not for a famine, not for economic, not for this, not for that. I want to be ready for the Lord's return. You know, over the last 5 or so weeks, we've celebrated Advent. And Advent, we always say it wrongly. In fact, it wasn't until recently that I realized that we say it wrongly. The word in Latin is Adventus. Everybody say Adventus.
Adventus.
Which means towards the comings, not towards the coming. We usually like to take what is plural in Latin there, Adventus, and make it just Advent because we want to position ourselves towards Christmas. We want to position ourselves towards that celebration. But Adventus all means towards the comings. What does that mean, towards the comings? Means towards his first coming, celebrating that at Christmas time, always with an eye and expectation and anticipation towards his second coming. There are two comings in this Advent. Jesus' return is assured to us. Scripture tells us it will happen. It is imminent. It could happen at any moment, and it is unknown. That's why we need to be ready. And the Lord tells us in his word, he doesn't say try to be ready or do your best to be ready. What does he say?
Be ready.
Be ready.
Be ready. In fact, Matthew 24 and 44 says, therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That's why I always kind of laugh when I see these kind of, please, I hope nobody takes offense, but I see these charlatans and supposed prophets who go, Jesus is coming back on this day. And I'm like, I'm not really sure you know that, because Jesus himself said, I'm coming when you don't expect me.
Right.
I'm coming at an hour you don't know. I always want the words of Jesus to come before the words of man. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus himself tells us to be ready, and that we won't know when it's going to happen, that there won't be time in that moment for us to get ready. There won't be time in that moment for us to go, oh, wait, just a second, Jesus. You know, I'll never forget years and years ago when I was in the military, we were on what we call ready response. And ready response means that when the alarm went off, whether it was day or night, you had to get all your gear and head out to Hickam Air Force Base and get on the tarmac because your unit might be going somewhere, might be deployed somewhere to fight. And I'll never forget this one time, and this was when there was this big kerfuffle in Bosnia, and we were the ready response unit, and the alarm went off at the middle of the night because it never goes off at 1 in the afternoon. It always goes off at midnight, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Went off at 2 in the morning. Got all of our gear, got in a muster, got on the buses, went to Hickam Air Force Base, lined up along that tarmac, and then, unlike a lot of the other times, they began to hand out the morphine to the combat lifesavers. There's a few things you should know when it comes to being on the ready deployment. When they hand you the morphine, things just got real. When they hand you the ammunition, it got really real. And so they handed out the morphine, and all of a sudden, young soldiers who had only been with the unit for maybe a couple of months started to get out their FMs, which are called field manuals, and started thumbing through it and going, I don't know if I'm ready for this. I mean, when things got real, we realized just how unready we were for that situation. And Jesus tells us to be ready. You must be ready, because there won't be time to take out your field manual when Jesus descends from the sky. Amen. And get ready.
It reminds me of the parable with the bridesmaids and those that had the oil or prepared in advance and those that didn't.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because Jesus says in Luke chapter 12 and 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning.
Hmm.
He says, stay dressed for action. Now what does he mean when he says dressed? What are we clothed in?
Righteousness.
Yeah, we're clothed in the work of the gospel. He says, continue to stay dressed. That's something that you don't take off. This is my concern for a lot of Christians, is a lot of Christians go home and they take it off.
Yep.
They get inside their houses and suddenly you go, I'm not really sure you're a follower of Jesus right now. Jesus tells us to stay dressed and to keep our lamps burning. He's telling us to keep ourselves clothed in the work of the gospel and to keep that fire, that love, and that passion for the Lord burning. You know, earlier in Luke 12, Jesus has warned his disciples against living in fear of the world and instead to live in fear and reverence of who God is. He tells them to trust in God. He says in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who can kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do to you. But I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who after he has killed has the authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. He said, why are you so scared of who can kill you in the body? Aren't you worried, more worried about the one whom will judge? And then he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 11 and 12, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, don't be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say in that very hour and what you ought to say. He says, God's going to lead you and guide you in those moments. Depend and trust on him. You're fearing the wrong thing, and you're trying to find the wrong words. And then he tells them, don't be anxious about your life or what you'll eat, nor about the body or what you'll put on. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. But instead, seek his kingdom, and his things will be added to you. Luke chapter 12 and 31. Jesus is trying to tell his disciples as he's preparing them for difficulty. He's trying to say God is sovereign and everything is underneath his absolute control. And we need to live in and out of the confidence of that. I'm concerned that way too many Christians are like Chicken Little who keep crying, the sky is falling.
Amen.
The sky isn't falling, but there will come a day where the sky will open up and the Son of Man will descend with a sharp two-edged sword in his mouth. That day is coming. But until that, every lesser thing, let the sky fall. Until it cracked open by Jesus, I'm not going to be concerned. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. See, we need to live like his first coming mattered in light of all the promises that are found in the Old Testament. How we live today tells us a lot about his first coming and how we live out of that first coming and his sacrifice. Everything that we've talked about throughout Advent here in these radio programs. Do you live out of the confidence that you have been saved and you are secured in the work of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Kill me. Kill the body. I fear one who's greater. This is what made the Apostle Paul so absolutely frustrating to worldly powers. Because Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Listen, if you let Paul go on his way, he was going to go about the countryside and convert everybody that he met. If you locked Paul up in prison, he was going to convert the guards and he was going to convert those in power. If you killed Paul, he got to go be with Jesus. There was nothing you could do to Paul that would deter him from his mission. He was absolutely frustrating to worldly powers. Why? Because his confidence was in Christ. His confidence was in Christ. And so we need to live like we actually believe that Jesus Christ is coming and that he will return. That he is the fulfillment of everything that the Old Testament says. And that's why Jesus says, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, Luke 12, 35. The idea behind this phrase is to be ready, to keep the fire and passion that you have for the Lord burning, to be excited about him. I don't know about you, but you know how I get excited about the Lord? When I get around other people who are excited about the Lord. When I get around other people who we wrestle what it means to follow Jesus. I think the reason why God called that iron sharpening iron is there's always sparks, and where there's sparks, there's fire. And where there's fire, the lamp is burning.
Jason, isn't that also that biblical mandate about the importance of assembling together?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't forsake the gathering together, as some are in the habit of doing. But what? Gather together and stir each other up towards love and good works. Nothing beats complacency out of you like getting together with others and getting stirred up.
Amen. Does it also end as the day of the Lord's return is coming or something? I mean,
as the day is dawning. And when my favorite verse in all the Bible, well, I have about 100 of them, but this is one of my favorites, one of the ones I learned when I first became a Christian, Hebrews 10:39, for we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who believe and are saved. Mm-hmm. That means that in Christ, I don't need to shrink back. I just need to lean into the Lord because I am saved and secured in Him. You know, a lot about what we think about the future is shaped by how we live now.
Amen.
If you believe that Jesus Christ is coming, you live differently today. If you believe that there will come a day when the heavens will crack open and He will come down and He will judge the living and the dead and that He will open up the Lamb's Book of Life and that your name is in there, you live differently today. And we all know the embarrassment of being called unprepared. And that's why Jesus told us to be ready for His coming. He says in Luke chapter 12 and 37, the tad read, blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. J.C. Ryle said this is perhaps one of the most wonderful promises made to believers in the New Testament. It means that there's no limit to the honor and the glory in which the Lord Jesus will bestow on those who are ready to meet Him at His second coming. Like we're ready. The skies crack open. He comes down and we're like, hey, we're ready. We're not like my wife before we go out on a date where she's like, it'll be 10 more minutes, which really means an hour. We're ready. We're ready to go to the party. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you don't expect. I write in all my Bibles in this verse I wrote, enough said. Enough said. You know, my wife said to me years ago, she said this, she was just kind of looking at everything that was going on around us, and she was just frustrated. And she said, does anyone else just wish that Jesus would walk into your kitchen, sit down with a cup of coffee, look at you and say, okay, this is what we're going to do? She said, does anybody else just wish that? And while that thought sounds so good, the truth of Scripture is that Jesus will not saunter into our kitchens as a friend to share a warm cup of coffee, but instead He will descend from the clouds as a conquering king, gloriously, upon a white stallion with a sword in His mouth, and it will be majestic, it will be glorious, and it will be amazing. And there won't be any question in that moment about anything, except, are you ready? Mm. Will you be ready? And so as we enter into the new year, that's my question for everybody. Mm. Are you ready? And if you would say, if you would honestly take and evaluate your own heart and your life and say, I'm not, then start. You know, one of the things that frustrates me most about adults and one of the things I love most about kids is when adults fail, they just go, oh, I'm a failure. Oh. When my kids fail, you know what they do? They go, do over. Dad, can I get a mulligan? Can I try it again? One more chance. Mm-hmm. Listen, if you're not doing it, if you're not ready, say, do over. Crack open your Bible. Begin to read it. Hide those words in your heart. Begin to pray and seek the Lord and ask that your feet would keep in step with His Spirit. Ask that you would live confidently as Romans chapter 8 tells you that there is no height, no width, no depth, no anything in all of creation that can take you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, because you are a son and daughter of the Most High.
Jason, maybe in the closing minute or two, because with the varied 19 frequencies covering all of central Illinois and west central Indiana, there may be a listener or two or dozens that are tuning in, but they don't know the character of God. They don't quite understand God is for them, that God loves them, that God cares for them. So how would they best approach this new year, maybe with that growing understanding of God's love?
I think the best way is to find a church in your local neighborhood. Don't find the most popular church, the big one that's across town. Find the one that's planted in your local neighborhood that likely has people from your neighborhood attending it. Become a part of that local church. Become a part of that local community, which will inevitably sow you into your neighborhood, and begin to follow Jesus with other people. I find that the best way to follow Jesus is with other people. Anytime I've ever tried to follow Jesus alone, I've always gotten myself in the weeds a little bit. I'm always better when I follow Jesus with others. And I'm always learning new things about who God is when I follow Jesus with others. When I hear how God is working himself out in their stories, how he's showing his unlimited and unmerited love in their stories. And so get connected to others who will help you connect to God. I think as the old adage goes, the first Bible you'll read is somebody else. Mm. And so I find often that that's very powerful. And so, yeah, go and you have a great opportunity, right? It's a new year, time to start something new. Just head down the street, walk in. The hardest thing you're going to do is walk in that front door. But it's going to be the best decision you ever made. And listen, by the way, being ready, getting ready, isn't always easy. There's some sweat, there's some toil, there's some difficult days. But difficult days always give way to better days.
Mm. Ted, I'm going to ask you to close our time in prayer. You opened it in prayer, and I'm going to have you do the bookend for our listeners, praying for them, praying for those that have maybe strayed from God, maybe some that haven't come into a personal relationship with God, and close our time in prayer. And a shout out for Alaric, who made it back. You knew Alaric Woo-hoo! Was a part of the first like 200 programs of Mark and Friends, and because of where we're located here in Mahomet, he hasn't been able to make it, but we appreciate Alaric. And
One of our
board members, Jim Miller, is also joining us, so we appreciate Jim. He's the treasurer of the radio ministry, and so we appreciate his tireless efforts behind the scenes and helping. But, Ted, close our time in prayer, please.
Father in heaven, thank you so much for what you've done for all of us in this past year. And as we begin a new year, Lord, we pray that all of us will seek a new beginning. We've just celebrated your first coming. We look forward to your second coming. Lord, send your spirit to work on the hearts of all those who hear this. There are some who have fallen away. They've been discouraged. Lord, send your spirit to minister to them, strengthen them, and build them up. And use us also to encourage all those around us, that we could be a light in the darkness, that the light would shine, and that many would come to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffel, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and Happy New Year!